We come today to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We will go to chapter 4 today from verse 1 through verse 18. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to this word that we're about to study. In Jesus' name, amen. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. In order to please someone, we must spend time with them. We must at least listen to them so that we can understand what makes them happy. It's the same with us and God. Pleasing God is the most important thing. We are on earth to make God happy. And since that's the case, everyone is responsible to learn from His book so that they can please Him. Find out what God wants and then do it. That's our purpose for being here. Verse 2. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Stop right there for a second. Someone says, yes, I want to please God. Well, here's a good place to start. Keep His commandments. Be holy. This is the will of God for you. Your sanctification. Be holy. Keep His commandments. If we are not holy, then our discernment for knowing God's will in other areas will be very foggy. If we do what we know is God's moral will for us today, then He will reveal the rest of His will for us as we need to know it. Verse 3 again, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. Holiness includes the proper use of sex. Of course, sex is a gift from God for a man and a woman who are married. All sexual acts outside of marriage are sinful. Verse 4. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. The vessel here refers to our bodies. Our bodies are the physical vessel that carries our soul and our spirit. God is saying here, control your body. That does not just refer to abstaining from sexual sins. Control your body. It means we must control our tongues, for one. Control our words. Stay away from gossip. Stay away from complaining and cussing and taking God's name in vain and any other type of speech that dishonors God. Use our body to please Jesus. And the best way to make that happen is to fill ourselves with God's Word, because the Bible says, your Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Verse 5, not in the lust of sensuality, even as the Gentiles who know not God. It is bad when someone who doesn't have Christ sins sexually. That is bad. That is sin. It is unthinkable for a Christian to do it. Anyone can act like a Christian when it is easy. God wants His people to act the right way, even when it's not easy. even when the temptation is very strong, to be unholy. Verse 6, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Sexual immorality is bad, period. Committing that sin with the wife or the husband of another Christian would be as bad as it could get. That is a terrible crime against everything that is holy and everything that is sin, or everything that is Christian. Terrible crime against everything that is holy and everything that is Christian. And the Word of God, which cannot be broken according to Jesus' own words, the Word of God, which cannot be broken, says God will punish those who do such things. Anyone guilty of that sin would be smart to confess it immediately and start pleading for God's mercy. Verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Impure thoughts and sinful acts are like spiritual mud on our souls. That's how God sees it. And God demands that we stay away from filth. He demands holiness. That means be different from most people in the world. Do not be influenced by peer pressure. That means you're not going to fit in sometimes. And it also means that some will not like us. But it also means that some lost soul out there who is searching for truth, maybe the most unlikely person in the world to you, they might have a heart for truth, and they're searching for truth. They will know you have it if you are willing to take a stand for holiness and not cave into peer pressure. When people think of teenagers or children when it comes to peer pressure, adults have just as much, and they cave in just as much. Verse 8, he, therefore, that despiseth not man but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. God is the one who demands holiness. So if someone does not like me for proclaiming what God commands, or someone does not like you because you live it, then they need to understand one more very important thing. They are despising God, not us. Getting irritated over something that is crystal clear in God's Word is a mark of a soul that is in great danger. Verse 9. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. God does not teach people to hurt other people. God does not teach people to lie to other people or use other people or slander others. He does not teach those sorts of bad things. God teaches people to love others. The problems in this world are not God's fault. He tells us to be nice. The problem is, too many people do not listen to him. Verse 10. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more. The Thessalonians were doing very well. They were loving God and they were loving people, but they could do better. There is always room for improvement in this area. Jesus is the perfect standard. And since none of us love as unceasingly and completely as Jesus, We know there's room for improvement. Verse 11. And that ye study or aspire to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. Minding our own business is biblical. Work hard, doing honest work, and mind your own business. Those two things will go a long way in making a person holy and in creating harmony among people too. Verse 12, that ye may walk honestly or properly toward them that are outside, and that ye may have lack of nothing, being a proper person, and therefore having the respect of others, does not come easily. It is not a gift. It must be earned. A bully, or a selfish person, or a person who doesn't mind their own business, does not deserve respect. A sinful person does not deserve respect. We earn respect by being a good person, working hard, and minding our own business. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep. Stop right there for a second. The Thessalonian Christians knew that Jesus would return. They knew that when he did return, all his people on earth would be with him. But many Christians had died. What about them? They knew that those who would be on earth when Jesus returned would be with him. What about the Christians who had died? Since Christ is returning to earth and they obviously are not here, will they miss out on the good times with Jesus? That's the question. Paul says in verse 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. Without Christ as our Lord, we are without hope. Without Christ as our Lord, we will never see a deceased loved one again. There is no hope for a Christ rejecter. But even though it's natural to be sad when someone we care about dies, if they are Christian, and we are also, we will be with them again. We are sad because we don't have them with us now, but unlike how it is for Christ rejecters, it is not a lost cause for us. Good times are coming. 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Christians believe that Jesus died and rose again. Consequently, it should be easy to believe that those who live for him and belong to him will rise again as well. They are actually one step ahead of Christians on earth. At least their souls are with Jesus right now. 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. Jesus could return at any time. The Thessalonians thought he would return in their lifetime, and possibly Paul did as well. But Paul's message here is this: do not worry about Christians who have died. Do not worry about them missing out on anything at the return of Christ. They're not going to miss out on anything. Look at 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. If Jesus returns today, you will hear a trumpet blast, you will hear a trumpet blast and an angelic shout. Then, if you happen to be at the grave of your loved one, in a flash, you will see them come out of the ground and into the sky to meet Jesus Christ. And before your mind can even process what just happened, notice verse 17, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so it will be Christ and you and your family and your friends and all the rest who died in Christ. And we will all be together. And we will all be happy in our new bodies on the new earth forever. Thanks to Jesus, death and separation are very temporary. 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It is a good thing to talk about the return of Christ. It is good to think about how great things will be then. No matter how desperate our situation may be, talking about the return of Christ will make us feel good and cause us to persevere in doing what is right, because we will be reminded once again that it will be worth it. That this earth is not all that there is. There is much more to come. If we are true to Christ, if we truly belong to Him. Next time, chapter 5. Until then, so long, everyone.